Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod. Porpoise Pod. It's a podcast with a purpose.
All dolphins.
All the time.
Touchdown!
Now, here's your hosts,
Brendan Tobin
and Alejandro Solana.
Porpoise Pod, Porpoise Pod. Tua will expose the Bills as frauds.
Welcome on in, everybody, and welcome back to Solana. Back together, Porpoise Pod, reunited, and it feels so good. We've put that loss. We needed a 24-hour rule just together before we gathered after that. Yeah. Too fresh of a wound. But Solana, it's good to be back. Porping with you, man. How are you? Well, how was your trip out west?
It was good. I missed you, though, Tobin. I really missed you.
Buddy. Yeah. I missed you, too. What was it? What was your favorite part? Obviously, it wasn't the games. So what was your favorite part out west?
In-N-Out Burger was pretty good. I've got to tell you, In-N-Out, definitely up there. And, you know, L.A., Tobin, overrated. Let's start 40-40. There. LA overrated, too spread out, takes you an hour to get from anywhere to anywhere. But am I fat for saying In-N-Out? I think that was a fair part.
No, In-N-Out was good. I had In-N-Out in Dallas. I went to an Errol Spence fight. It was when I don't know, were you there? Did you go on that trip? I don't know if you
I've heard that you and Crowder made Hawk walk like 7 miles or something
right.
like that.
That's right. I remember that. It was we went to Whataburger, which Hawk really wanted to go to, which I didn't think that was that great. He loved it, but I thought In-N-Out was way better.
Yeah, In-N-Out is legit, and you know, there was like a 30-car line, but you're literally in and out of there within minutes. It was great. It was perfect.
Delightful. All right, man. So I did a solo deal after the game. So first off, let's just get some of your thoughts. Just a couple takeaways you had from Sunday Night Football, your feelings of their loss to the Chargers. How much did you hurt? And what, I guess, bothered you the most from the game?
So I listened to your solo pod, and I was hoping it would make me feel a little bit better after the loss. And Tobin, I mean, it was tough to do that Sunday night. So
it was a fresh wound, dude. It was really tough, too. I mean, I was at your Keg South, and Kendall was in your stomping grounds.
After I missed your watch party, I'm like, you know what? I miss Keg South. So I had literally before we taped, I had dinner at Keg South tonight.
It was good. I enjoyed it. And we had a bunch of listeners. It was cool. But it was so odd because it was like I still had that same thing with the 49ers game where I was like, man, I feel like they're right in this. Yeah. I don't know what the hell these first halves have been. I can't explain it. But like between the explosive, fluky plays with Tyreek Hill and the bombs of Tyreek, I was like, oh, maybe. But, you know. It did sting. I'm not gonna, because I knew the laughter was coming.
Yeah, no, for sure. Emmanuel Acho is already off the Tua bandwagon. He put out the apology to Chargers Nation.
Let me tell you something. I could smell that a mile away. It smelled exactly like Kendrick Perkins. Remember when Kendrick Perkins was trying to get on the Heat bandwagon and was doing the Dem Goons thing?
Yeah,
I knew that was fraudulent. This guy was only in it for the clicks.
And he used the Hawk and Crowder show as the platform to do it, too,
right.
which stung even more for me because I thought this dude was Miami through and through. And the second they lost one game to Boston, he's like, this series is over. Boston's going to win it. I mean, he jumped off the bandwagon immediately. Tobin, 2 days removed now because we're recording this Tuesday night. If I want to put a positive spin on it, right, if I'm trying to be optimistic, I'm right. What you said is where I'm at, which is as bad as the Dolphins played, as bad as the offense looked in both of these games, you were there with a chance to win this game late. Had you gotten the lucky bounce on the onside kick, Jason Sanders finally could have done something worthwhile this season, then you had a chance to go down there and win the game. So as bad as they played, like that's me being optimistic, right? That's me telling myself, hey, they played their two worst games offensively all season with Tua in the lineup, and they still had a chance to win games against pretty decent to above average teams. Obviously, San Francisco is really good, but Tobin, I don't feel good about Saturday night in Buffalo. I don't feel good about Tua in the offense right now. And to be honest, I was down bad. I was down bad on that flight back home. I really was. I was down bad. I mean, I don't feel like this team is as elite as I thought they were previously going out on this West Coast road trip. And I'm trying not to get caught in the moment. I'm trying not to, you know, overreact to two obviously bad performances that I don't think are indicative of what this team really is. I know Tua is better than what we saw the other day, but to me, so much was riding on this three-game road trip. And whether we made too much of it going into it is a fair question, and I'd be willing to have that conversation. But bottom line is these were three big games, and you pooped the bed in the first two, and it's not going to get any easier. You're playing the best team of the three in the toughest conditions now on Saturday, and a team that wants to kick your ass, a team that feels disrespected. They feel like people have been hyping up the Dolphins and they want to kick your ass. And I just don't see a way that the Dolphins can beat the Bills on Saturday. And I know this isn't the preview pod, but I just don't, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope everybody clips this and calls me a bum on Sunday morning when we porp it up after the game. But I don't see it. I think this team is somewhere in the middle of what we've seen the last two Sundays and what we saw those five straight wins where they were the most prolific offense in the NFL. I think they're somewhere right in the middle, which will be good enough for a playoff run and maybe a playoff win, but I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders. So I've totally changed course. I've changed trajectory on the outlook, my outlook on this team, and it sucks. I don't want to be here, and maybe you can talk me out of it. Maybe a win on Saturday totally changes my outlook, and I'm just going to be flip-flopping back and forth because I'm a coward, and I know I am, Tobin, but I just got to be honest. I can't lie to the listener.
Okay.
I have jumped off Dolphins Super Bowl bandwagon.
Wow. Just like that, huh?
Just like that.
Is it because it was Justin Herbert versus Tua? Like you were tired of everybody laughing at you on Twitter?
That's exactly what it is. Tobin, he had six completions before the final drive when they just let him dunk it underneath because they weren't going to give up the big play. He had six completions. And if you take away the one bomb to Tyreek Hill, he had like five completions for 80 something yards.
It was bad. It wasn't a great performance from him. I feel way worse about the game that he had in San Francisco, though, oddly enough, than I did with the Chargers game. I thought the Chargers had a good game plan. I think what stings about it is they're not a good defense. And the fact that you have to just say, hey, I think they outplayed us it sucks. You don't want to say that, but I thought that, you know, with them, they kind of out-physicaled a lot of our receivers. I thought they took Jaylen Waddle out of that game. I know that a lot of these guys are banged up. But San Francisco, you know, I don't know who that was with him because he was just missing stuff, wide open stuff. That stuff was – that one to me is the more disheartening game because you lose to a third-string quarterback on your defensive side and you lose to Tua not executing plays that were there. I don't know if the plays were there. I think that you got to give credit to that doofus Brandon Staley and his fake wheelbarrow balls because he did a good job against Mike McDaniel. They clearly were trying to take away the middle of the field. You know, and I think they did a good job of that. I think that to me is still fixable and they can tune some of these things up. Obviously, it's not great going into a situation where they have to go win a game and the first news that we get is it's going to be 7 inches of snow. That's not great because Tua, cold weather, not fantastic. That being said, you're already talking about, you know, this Bills team. What are they, braving the elements? this team that they're scared of everything. Oh, sun. Oh, we got to leave. There's too much snow. Let's go to Detroit. They finally got forced to play in some flurries last week. And all of a sudden, you want to, you know, give them a better rose. They got to play Joe Flacco half the time. That doesn't count.
By the way, do you have a ski jacket and maybe some boots I can borrow? Because I am a Miami dude with no, like, what, this sweater is the thickest thing I own right now. And I'm wearing it in 75 degrees.
If you legitimately want me to, and you're not doing a bit, I will bring you a jacket tomorrow because I was just in Tennessee. So please tell me if you want me to bring you something. You're a lot skinnier than I am. So I don't know. It might be the coat wearing you, but yeah, I can help you out there. It's, you know, and also you got to watch out for these idiots with their flaming tables. So be careful.
Oh my God. Buffalo fans are so dumb. I mean, I'm not looking forward to this road trip at all.
I mean, you better watch it. The Dolphins have to be worried about sex toys being thrown out on the field and urinated snowballs. You know, you just be careful.
And you know, Josh Allen is going to just be in your face QB on Saturday. Every throw, he's going to celebrate like he's winning the Super Bowl. Remember last year, they were up. The game was out of reach, and they went for two on a play, and Christian Wilkins won to fight him at midfield. But
they got some history, those two.
Yeah, but you know the reason why the San Francisco loss bothered me, but it was frustrating that they left so many plays on the field. But the reason why this one bothered me more, and it was beyond Tua, it was from Mike McDaniel, where for the first time in the first half, the Dolphins can't get anything going, and for the first time, I felt like McDaniel dropped the ball. And not being able to adjust. Mm. I mean, look, the whole like offensive guru thing, you know, so much goes into that. And what does that really mean? But he's shown us this year that clearly he's an extremely talented offensive mind. You know, it's obvious at this point. There's no doubt about it. Even those games Tua was out, this Dolphins offense was putting up numbers. Look what he's done with Tyreek Hill. Look what he's done with Jalen Waddle. Like it's not a facade that he's put on through the first 13 weeks of the season. And all of a sudden, the Dolphins' true colors are coming to light. I don't believe that, but I would have wanted to see a different approach in the second half, and there was none. There was nothing the Dolphins could do, in my opinion, and nothing they did that showed me that they went into the halftime and said, okay, clearly our game plan, we have to throw it out the window because it didn't work. Let's try this now. And that's what was frustrating to me because in the second half, they looked just as lost.
I hear that from you, and I'm not saying don't be upset with it, but they lost Jeff Wilson, who is like their power guy and really does set up all that play action stuff that they do. You know, he is that thunder to Mostert's lightning. And, you know, look, Tyreek Hill played a season low snaps because he's out there basically on one leg. Like, you're not going to look like as much of a genius without Tyreek Hill. That's just the facts. And Tyreek Hill being limited on the amount of snaps that he was able to play is a tough go for him to not look like as much of a genius. But, you know, but also I'm not shook that he can't make adjustments from week to week. I think we have seen from him, you know, this is a guy I think the fan base has had a lot of faith in. I'm not going to all of a sudden be completely, you know, rats off a ship on the guy's ability to get things right. With one time because he got out schemed. I think that this is part of his. He's a rookie too, you know. Like he's got some learning to do as well, and everybody's got to get on the same page. I do wonder about you know, he talked this week about pressing and the players press. I wonder if he's pressing. I wonder what that's got to be like for him. You know, we talked a lot about with the San Francisco game. Tua maybe wanted to do too much for Mike McDaniel, and maybe that was why he was so juiced up on those throws or something like that. But, you know, he had this whole, it was my first trip out west and we bonded together and we all really got to know each other and love one another and you fall flat on your face. Like, I think that can kind of really spark you and be like, man, sometimes that stuff doesn't matter and you just kind of get down to it.
And I'm not, by the way, like, I'm not out on McDaniel. You know, I'm not just going to jump off the McDaniel train because of, you know, one bad game. It's just what made me so frustrated about that Chargers game. It's that nothing worked. Tua's throwing passes that just don't make sense. There was one play where it's like a play action and he throws a bomb to Tyreek and Tyreek has a step on the receiver and Tyreek just didn't see it. He lost the ball.
Lost in the lights. Yeah.
He loses it. And then there was another play where he throws it to Jalen Waddle, and I don't know if it, like, that one wasn't as wide open as the Tyreek one was, but Jalen Waddle just didn't even know the ball was coming his way either. You know, there were just throws. There's another throw that Tua throws to Tyreek Hill. There's five guys around Tyreek, and thank God Tua just threw it so poorly that the ball couldn't have been intercepted because Tyreek Hill's running down the middle of the field and Tua just threw it towards the sideline and nobody was there. But he just looked totally, totally rattled. And that worried me. You know, It really did. From the very first series where the Dolphins go three and out, three incompletions, to me, he looked a little bit rattled. And I mean, you know, it's December, bro. You got to step up your game in these situations. And we remember what he did last year in Tennessee. I brought it up a couple times where after that Tennessee game, I was seriously doubting if Tua could be the guy. Mm-hmm. And he's put all those questions to bed. I'm not questioning whether he's the guy. I'm not questioning how good he is. I know how good he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be elite, the category that I was putting him in 2 weeks ago, he needs to be able to perform in these games. I think that's legit.
I just don't think – I get your worries. I get it. But I just look at the character of the guy. And I say, this kid burst onto the scene on a national championship game and won his team a title. He comes into the NFL. Nobody wants him. He's playing on half a hip. You know, he's got to deal with all of that drama every step of the way last year. You know, he has to deal with 9 offensive coordinators, all that stuff. And, you know, finally was put into this position. And he's leading the league in quarterback rating for most of the season. He was, a top 2 in odds for MVP. He's leading everything in Pro Bowl voting. Like, I just don't think that stuff gets erased. And also won a game with a concussion against this team. Like, all right, like, got knocked out of the game against the Bills, came back and chucked bombs to beat their ass with limited plays. And I just think that the guy is as rock solid as they come with his fortitude. Not a good enough performance the last 2 weeks. Not excusing it, but I'm definitely still a believer that this guy's going to get done. Maybe he makes me look like a huge idiot. and Josh Allen smokes him, and AJ Epinesa and Greg Rousseau eat his lunch, and Ed Oliver, you know, spears him. I don't know. But I just feel like that moment is going to be here for him. I really do. I feel like he has mostly answered the bell. They have had time now. He had a couple times where they were riding high. Now they've been humbled a little bit. I just feel a great sense that he is going to be able to, and Mike McDaniel is going to be able to bounce back. I don't fear the Bills. I haven't feared them all year. I would say if you told me the teams that I would be more worried about the Bengals. I would be more worried about the Chiefs, teams that are like legitimately like, you know, have been further than the Bills. What has this Bills team done? They are this team is a paper champion. In the boxing terms, we call this an email champion. Sometimes a sanctioning body will just email somebody a title and declare them champion. This team has done nothing, been nowhere. They're the most notorious losers out there, and their fan base whined about the sun. So I'm not going to sit here. And by the way, Mike McDaniel's taking pot shots. He's telling them nobody cares about the weather. Don't tell me that's not a subtle dig. He knows what he's doing.
Yep.
Everybody calls me crazy on this. He knows what he's doing. I don't know, man. I feel like I hated what happened because I knew it was going to be coming. You had a lot of people who were starting to either bend on their opinion of Tua or were backing off their opinion of Tua. But all they really needed was one to pounce back on and be right where they were. Don't let Dolphins, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to the Dolphins. Don't let their cowardice bleed into your cowardice.
But we needed at least a decent performance against Herbert.
I understand.
I'm not saying he needed to go out there, throw for 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, and be, you know, Dan Marino. But to have to sit, well, I'm sitting there in the fourth quarter and I'm getting some stats for Joe and Jimmy, and I'm saying, guys, we're down 23-14. He has 6 completions right now. He has 6 completions.
I was shook at half. What do you have at halftime? Was he 3-15 for 25?
I mean, I was shook, bro. I'm telling you, I was being a coward at halftime. I'm like, oh no, this is gonna get out of hand. I'm with you though. The Bills are.
But I still. But did you not still think? Be honest with me. When he hit that bomb to Tyreek Hill, did you not think they were winning that game?
I thought they were winning that game.
100%. I thought they were winning that game.
And I thought it was Baltimore part two. I thought he was going to turn it on.
That's the thing that is crazy about it, is because this guy's number one critique all year is he's not going to be able to have explosive plays. And that's really all he's had over the last 2 weeks, because the other stuff, it's the other, the stuff we think he's great at, the things that we know this guy is elite, dissecting a defense, throwing over the middle, that's what's been lost, and that's what's odd. And that, I think, is the crazy. I feel like he's going to get that back, because it's not, he's been good at that his whole career.
Yeah.
I feel like I just can't. That guy's just not gone. Yeah, maybe teams have made an adjustment. I don't think that he can adjust back to it.
I hate that argument by a lot of people that I'm seeing, that the Niners were able to figure out the script for Tua. You know, like they figured it out. Now teams know exactly what to do to scheme against Tua defensively. And I hate that, because it's not like, you know, Derrick Henry, where they're just stacking the box. I mean, bottom line, you still have to stop Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and you don't just know how to do that from one game to the other, you know? So I hate that argument. To me, as much as, because I read the stat, I remember Marcel Louis-Jacques had tweeted out that towards the end of the game, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle only had like a yard. Tyreek only had a yard of separation, and Jalen Waddle had less than a yard of separation against defenders, which is
insane. This is San Fran or LA?
Against LA, which is insane, considering every time he was throwing them the ball, they were so wide open. So I hate that idea where they took away the middle of the field. And maybe they did, but Tua can throw the ball to the sidelines too, you know? So I don't think that Tua can't or won't be able to now throw the precision short passes that we've seen, or middle passes that we've seen, just because the Niners and Chargers did it. So I'm with you there. Like, I think that will return, but I need to see it. I need to see it.
We'll take a quick break here on the Porpoise Pod. A man who is disgusted by the lack of faith he is seeing, Javon Holland. He has called out the fan base. Gets the Porpoise Pod, swims on after this. Porpoise Pod swimming on here. Tobin and Solana back, reacting to Dolphins loss to the Chargers, getting ready for Dolphins and Bills. Solana is been shook. He's been a little bit rattled from Sunday Night Football as we get ready for the biggest game of the season. Look, if I told, I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it. If I told you you could only get one road game, Solana, would you have wanted Tua to stunt on Herbert? Or would you wanted him to do it against the Bills?
Let's beat the Bills in Buffalo, baby. Come on. The stupid Bills in Buffalo.
But look, a lot of the fan base has been rattled. And one of the Dolphin stars has taken notice. And this was Javon Holland. This was him on Instagram. And this is what he had to say when asked about, I guess somebody asked him on Instagram, did he believe in Tua? And he found this laughable.
Let me talk about that shit. How are y'all gonna say Tua sold when he's been fucking playing his ass off the last 8 games? One bad game, and we don't even know. We gotta look at the film, bro. Like, I don't even know if it was a bad game. I know that my job is to get the ball back to the offense, but I'm behind them boys regardless. Y'all fans be so quick to switch up. Like, come on, man. That's so lame. Y'all be so quick to switch up on our team. Like, how you want to, like, that is so crazy to me. Like, yeah, you loyal fans, like, cool. But then y'all just switch up dumb quick, and y'all hating on us. Like, bruh, I thought y'all was supposed to be ride or die or something. Nah, y'all be switching up on us. That should be lame. Super lame, bro. Anyway. Just know that man, Tua, he fighting as hard as everybody else in the field. And that's, it just is what it is.
There you go, Solana, the snowman. He's sticking up for his guy, and he is calling out the doubters who aren't staying loyal. What do you think of what Javon had to say there?
I have so many questions. obviously for our audio listeners on the pod and those who aren't watching on YouTube, Javon's laying on the ground in what seems like his apartment. I'd love to get a little more context there. Like, I mean, he's an NFL player. Get yourself a lazy boy, first of all.
Well, he's a second round pick. He doesn't quite have that big money yet. I mean, maybe he's a cheapskate. You know, didn't Wilkins tell you guys on his show he's a notorious cheapskate?
Doesn't order lemonade, just orders free water and two lemons. That's with sugar crazy. And he makes his own lemonade.
He could afford his own lemonade. That seems I you know what? I love a carpeted apartment. You know, sometimes to lay down on that carpet in an apartment, that's very comfy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not terrible, but I'm with him because a lot of people are doing the thing that you're saying, which is two bad games, they're back on the Tua sucks bandwagon. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are doing that. And you're right. Like, people were waiting for these games to do that. But Tobin, bottom line, this fan base has been split down the middle for 2 years, split right down the middle. And I know I have a lot of buddies who are diehard Dolphins fans that have still been saying, well, let's see Tua do it in the playoffs. Let's see Tua go and win you a playoff game before they're going to buy in. So it doesn't,
Do you think that's split, or do you think it's a loud minority?
Yeah,
because they don't want to look stupid. Because he's leading the league in Pro Bowl votes. Like, most of the fan base was so happy when they drafted him.
Yeah,
and now he's good. I feel like most of the fan base loves him. It's just a couple of ingrates on social media. It's not nobody. I do believe you're right. But do you think it's 30% of the fan base? Do you think it's a fourth of the fan base? Or do you genuinely think it's closer to 50-50?
No, you're right. It's not split down the middle, because every game, every home game, the jersey you see the most in the stadium, more than the 13s, more than the 99s, it's the number one jersey. It is. And every time that dude walks onto the field, that place gets loud as hell. So you're right. It's not split down the middle, but that loud minority had grown over the past couple seasons. Like, last year, it grew a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think people were waiting for this moment for him to be down so they can step on him. But I love that from Javon Holland. Like, this team loves Tua. The entire team loves Tua.
Yeah, they do. Keon Crossan also came out on Twitter, and he pretty much echoed it. He said, it don't matter how long your loyalty has been to a team. If that's your team ride, I'll take Tua any day. Let that sizzle in your spirit. That's what I always say, dude. Sizzle. My spirit sizzles.
Sizzle in your spirit.
That's what it does. Especially when Tua does awesome things. I just feel my spirit. It's like a skillet.
Defense has been a little sketchy too, bro. Secondary?
The
hell's up?
Secondary has been. Oh, dude. I know.
What the hell was that? Tobin on that play where he got beat deep and then he forgot to touch the guy down and he's walking off the field.
I don't know, man. I don't know if this is because there's a lot of guys banged up. I don't want to make excuses for Xavier, but we do know he's been dealing with a groin. That's a tough injury to play through, especially at his position. But cornerback can also be a position where guys kind of fall off a cliff, like running backs. And I don't know. Are we seeing almost the end of Xavier Howard as an elite player? Not as, you know, he might be decent. Obviously, look, here's the facts about it. Him at 60% is better than Noah Benogany at 100%. That's what they're telling you. But yeah, he has not had a good year. He has not had a good year for sure.
They're going at him, right? Isn't that crazy? Where the past two seasons, he never, you know, his stats weren't that insane last year because nobody was throwing his way. But this year they're going at him. Like, they're purposely, they're not throwing the ball to Kader Kohou. They're throwing it at Xavier Howard. They're staying away from Kohou and from Keon Crossan, and they're going at X. Like, that to me is crazy.
I thought Kader had a really nice bounce back game out of the secondary.
Him and Eric Rowe, I know he's a safety, but like he had eight tackles by halftime or something stupid like that. Like, he was playing a good game.
Yeah. But it's tough for me to get on the defense too much because, man, the offense left them no time to recover. Of course the dam was going to break on that. Yeah. You know, like, for what, six red zone trips, they got him on a fourth down, got him off the field. They gave up a couple TDs and then three field goals. think 23 points is a pretty good performance, especially with this offense.
Yeah.
You would think if I was going to go, it'd be like, 23 points. This offense this year, child's play. You can get three touchdowns and a field goal easily.
Easy.
So yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't great, but to me, these last 2 weeks have both been on the more on the offense
for sure
in an overwhelming way than it has been on the defense. See, the defense has had moments like don't let Brock Purdy carve you up on third down, but more of it's just like, dude, what the hell? What's going on? We can't sustain drives.
Yeah, you're allowing the other team to go out there and you have 20 minutes of possession in the game and you let the Chargers have 40. That's more on the offense. I'm with you. By the way, since we're talking about the secondary, Mike McDaniel, because he said this on Monday after you did the porp on Sunday night. Mike McDaniel was asked about Byron again. And
he hates the Byron Jones question.
He hates it, but that's a see ya conversation because Byron Jones is probably dunzo as a Dolphin.
Well, that's the thing that's funny about it is like, I don't understand this thing that I gave up on I'm telling you right now, as soon as Byron Jones was not ready for the regular season, I didn't think he was playing this season because Byron Jones contract, if he was to play, they could have cut him. But if he gets hurt, it was guaranteed. So he was dealing with his Achilles last year. And the thought was, I'll get surgery on it. Now my contract is guaranteed and they can't do anything with me. It's a savvy move. It's, you know, people look, it's a selfish move, but it's how many times does the NFL player get one up on the team? Never happens.
Right.
And so I really never had faith he was going to play this year. Like, you could just tell Mike McDaniel's pretty honest about everything. He was skipping around that question and hated it coming to him every single week. Like when do you ever see Mike McDaniel get really like rolling the eyes? Like, doesn't like to, like, it's clearly a situation that's annoying. Cause he's like, I know this guy's not going to play and I gotta, what lie can I come up with this week? But now you're at the point of the season where you're like, you know what, guys, I don't think he's going to play. Cause it's like, why are you going to keep asking me?
Yeah.
So that's what I think went down there. I saw this, speaking of the offense, I saw this. I think it was Don Kleiman, I think was the guy's Twitter account. Does like a lot. He's like an aggregator.
Is it Dove Kleiman?
Dove Kleiman. You're right. Yeah. My bad. Sorry, Dove. He posted this. He said, Dolphins franchise tag Mike Gesicki for $11 million this year, but they don't actually use him on offense. Gesicki has only been targeted 4 times in the last 3 games, catching 0 passes. Do you think that Mike Gesicki, I mean, obviously he's not being utilized. Do you think he needs to be utilized more to maybe spark some things? Or should we just accept the fact that Mike McDaniel and him never really seemed like they got on the same page? And he's just not the type of tight end that he wants in the system. Or do they need his athleticism, his size to get some mismatches and work some things for it?
I'm split on this because bottom line, whatever Mike McDaniel's been doing this week or this season has worked. So if he just doesn't fit the scheme, and it's obvious when he's out there, right? You know, he can't pass block and he can't run block. So it's obvious when he's out there, they're going to throw the ball. So that's a major tip off to the defense. I understand the hesitancy from the offensive coach to not play him as much and not target him as much because it's too obvious what you're doing when he's out there. But I also feel like you have this major weapon. You should try your hardest to utilize him as much as possible. But yeah, Tobin, I mean, you have the league's leading receiver on your roster, and then you have Jalen Waddle, who's right up there in the top 5 or top 6 or was. I haven't even looked at it the past week. So it's not like, you know, we're leaving so many points on the board because we're not utilizing Mike Gesicki. I mean, maybe you can make the case that you should be using him more, which I get because he is good. Like, the dude's legit. You know, I see him walking around at practice or whatever, and I'm saying, he's probably frustrated this year, but he knows. He knows that $10, $11 million check is coming his way, you know?
Sure.
So he knows he's set no matter what happens this season.
But I got to say, here's the one thing I would say to it. We're going into a couple weeks here. We know Jalen Waddle's been banged up with this fibula hit, you know, all types of things. clearly Jaylen Waddle, the one thing I'll say with last week, was bothered by some of the physicality LA was playing him with. That seemed like it disrupted him a bit. And Tyreek is basically was hobbling around on one leg. You know, like Mike Gesicki's a talented player. So yeah, like don't utilize him as a tight end. Utilize him as a receiver then. Put him in some situations. Maybe Mike Daniels upset because he dropped that ball on the sidelines and made him look a fool with that with that review. But I don't know. Like they don't go to him anymore, dude. It's like complete. He's like a forgotten man.
He's had in the red zone, right? Like he's been somebody that they'll go to in the red zone at times. But
yeah, with the awful gritty, that feels like eons ago.
Yeah, but I also feel like this team doesn't get in the red zone because they just score touchdowns from 40 and 50 yards out anyway. So those opportunities have dwindled. I'm with you. That's something I would have loved to have seen in the second half of that Chargers game, right? Okay, the Chargers have clearly figured out a way right now to limit Tyreek and Jalen, and maybe injuries have to do with that. Well, why not go out there and try to get Mike Gesicki the ball? But I think he had, what, three targets in that game? Like
Mike Gesicki has gone last week, 2 targets, 0 yards, 0 catches. The week before that, 1 target, 0 catches for 0 yards. The week before that, against the Texans, 1 target, 0 catches, 0 yards. The week before that, against the Browns, 3 targets, 2 catches, 31 yards. The week before that, against Chicago, 2 targets, 1 catch, 3 yards, and the last time he scored a touchdown was against Detroit, where he was throwing the ball 4 times, 3 catches, 38 yards in a TD.
That's crazy. Should have traded him, bro. If
I know.
If that was the case, should have traded him. That's a missed opportunity because he's gone. Like he's
for sure. He's not going to stick around here.
No.
They're not gonna franchise him again.
No,
like if anything, they're gonna franchise Wilkins because that's who they're gonna have to pay a lot of money to in the offseason.
They're gonna end up franchise tagging him, right?
Wilkins?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they. I mean, he's looked amazing. He deserves whatever dollar amount the top defensive tackle gets. He deserves.
I love him so much.
Me too.
I love him so much, man.
I can't wait till he angers Josh Allen with grabbing his junk again this week.
A full handful of some Josh Allen nads. Just a full handful.
Oh, it looks like Josh Allen's upset. What is it? Oh, Christian Wilkins. Oh, we know.
did you talk about the roughing the passer call
on Jalen Phillips? The worst, dude. Yeah, Jalen Phillips has also come on really strong.
Right away, yeah. He tweeted it in 30,000 feet above the air. He tweeted it on the plane on the way home.
I know. He deleted it.
He did not delete it.
He did delete it. I wish he didn't.
Come on.
But yeah, he's right. Like that what happened to him was criminal. Like that was ridiculous. And that talk about money, like sacks is a big deal for a pass rusher. They're not very common. And so for a guy to have a sack taken away from him because of a bogus penalty, I would be furious, not only just because of the game situation, but like you're messing with my money. These officials not knowing what the hell they're looking at.
How was the broadcast after that play? Was Collinsworth just like beside himself that they called that?
I don't even remember. I was beside myself. I don't even remember what the hell he said. Now that you think about it, I would imagine he was, but I was at the sports bar and I was,
that's right.
All of the fans were so upset with each. We were like yelling amongst ourselves. I don't even remember what he said now that you mention it.
It was weird too because Dolphins players are celebrating, and like 12 seconds later, the official just drops the flag.
Yeah, it was crazy.
The whole thing was bizarre.
It was like Kane's Fiesta Bowl late. Like what the
yes.
hell?
Yeah, Larry Coker has the trophy in his hand already, and the official is throwing the stupid flag.
Man, it was it angered me greatly, but you know, obviously, small potatoes compared to why they lost. But football does this thing all the time where I'm like, football's hard enough to understand, but they legitimately make like the simplest rules really, really difficult. What's a catch? What's pass interference? How can you hit the quarterback? It changes every year. Now it's eligible receivers. Everybody wants those rules changed. You know, like you don't know what you're watching anymore. And the officials seem like they make up the rules as they go.
That was another thing that bothered me. The return of the ineligible man downfield for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, bro. Come on. That was week seven. We got that fixed already in week seven.
But here's the thing: a lot of people want that rule changed because they think it's garbage with the run pass option and all that stuff. Like, you know, it's let's grow up a little bit. This isn't 1974. Like, Zonk's not back there. Let's you know, like let the linemen cut loose a little bit.
Did Zonk tweet after the game? Did you?
He gave up. He like gave up. I think he gave up like after the Tyreek Hill tweet. The Tyreek Hill the fumble Reekski. I think that was the last time.
He's not selling his book anymore. He's done on Twitter.
Let me see. I gotta find Zonk. What did he? What was the last?
The last tweet was yesterday, but it's about his book. It's reviews from his book.
He goes, "There you go. Thank goodness for Hill. Even with a bad ankle, he comes through. Not a bad throw either. I want more of that. Hashtag MIA versus LAC. Hashtag fins up. Hashtag SNF."
Oh, look, he did tweet, "Most ridiculous call I've seen. Unbelievable. Hashtag MIA versus LAC.
Yeah, fins up. Hate that.
Hashtag Sunday Night Football.
Can't believe backups are covering our receivers as well as they are." He's right about that. On the Hill fumble recovery, the fumble Reekski, he goes, "What was that? Can we run that play again? Thank you, Hill."
I've watched that replay so many times. Does it not look, there's one camera angle where it looks like Teron Armstead flips the ball to Tyreek Hill. I don't think he meant to. I think he just went to grab it and it squeaked out. But it almost looks like Teron flips the ball to Tyreek Hill, which would be the most insane thing ever, because how could he have known Tyreek Hill was there? He couldn't have. He's on the ground with 30 people on top of him. But the idea that the ball just lands perfectly and is in the fastest player in the world's hands, and
amazing.
Everybody's on the ground, to me, is just the dumbest thing ever. That's so amazing.
That's one of those, like, you remember, like, it's like one of those, like, man, I really wish you could enjoy that play more because it was so insane. But, you know, it happened in a loss. So, like, it'll be probably lost in Dolphins lore. But I don't think you're going to see many crazier plays than what he was able to do there. And just all the dog, but like when Justin Herbert fumbled that ball, I thought we were going to get the ball back and win.
Oh my God. That's
right. I was like, oh my God. Ah! We were like all screaming in the sports bar. It was crazy. And then the same thing on the onside kick, because like every Dolphin was pointing that they had the ball. They lied to me.
What is up with that? Like, let's wait till you know for sure you have the ball to start pointing.
Yeah, there's usually like one boob. I saw like seven people point. I'm like, oh, they got the ball. No. I'm like, why would you guys do that? Do you think you're going to like get the ref to change his mind?
And one other play that really bothered me. I was just I wanted to talk to you about this so bad.
Mm-hmm.
The third and goal from like the 20, where the Dolphins line up everybody, their entire secondary line up.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, dude.
What the hell was that?
I don't know what that was. Let me tell you something. Nobody is. Let's be honest about something. Nobody's more happy about Tua stinking up the joint the last 2 weeks than Josh Boyer.
Josh Boyer, yeah.
Josh Boyer's like, whoo, because he's had some doozies these past couple of weeks, dude. I don't know what he's doing, but he's sneakily like, oh, thank God that Tua's sucking an egg, because I am out here and I'm just putting people, like, I haven't seen defense that bad since like the Canes with Mark D'Onofrio. Like back like with Al Golden's teams, like what were they doing? I don't know, dude.
D'Onofrio, it was a third and two, and he had two guys on the line of scrimmage. I mean, D'Onofrio fell off so hard after that. I just couldn't understand what the hell was going on. And you're so right. Josh Boyer is so lucky that Tua has been playing terrible. There's nobody I want to hear from more this week than Josh Boyer. He normally speaks like Wednesday or Thursday.
I think Thursday.
Yeah. He normally speaks later in the week. I need to understand, because you know the entire media is going to be there to ask him that question. Like, what?
Oh, for sure.
What was the idea behind having everybody? Because I understand playing prevent defense on a third and long or a fourth and long, and it's 20 yards to gain, and all you have to do is stop them short of the line to gain, right? But not when it's in the red zone and they can get close enough to go for it on fourth down. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Josh Boyer speaks at 11:45-ish on Thursday. He will answer for his crimes.
Yeah, he must.
He must. He must. All right, dude. It was good to pour up with you again, man. Glad to have you back. Do you need a jacket? Like, what do you need? Are you going to be all right?
I might. Hawk was asking me, Hawk and Crowder, because last year went to Anchor Bar. You know, they have the stupid little buffalo wings, and it's so overrated. But I told them, I'm flying in Friday night. I'm going straight to the hotel. I'm Ubering food, and I'm waking up the next morning, going straight to the stadium. And then after the game, we're getting the hell out of Buffalo. Yeah, I want nothing to do with that city. I don't want to see a Buffalonian. And I don't want to eat those stupid buffalo wings either. I'm ordering Chipotle right to the hotel, and I'm going right to bed when we get there.
Good. You know, we're not going to be like we don't want to hang out in your city like you guys want to down here.
Oh, they're all at
the sun.
Elbow room. Let's all meet up at elbow room and wear our Buffalo Bills gear. No. We're going to the hotel, and we're getting the hell out of that city.
I like it, dude. Enjoy your trip. Glad to have you back for a few days, back boots on the ground down here in Miami. And for the rest of you porpers out there, we'll talk to you next time.